Good morning and welcome to everyone here this morning. As things go for coronavirus issues, we have a full house today. So good to see everybody here that can be here. Let us begin our service with the singing of our opening hymn.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, January 10th, 2021 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen, Casey Jones, and Ken Richard. Our organists are Dora Thompson and Heather Heidgrader. The opening hymn is number 397, As With Gladness Men of Old, hymn number 397 found in the Lutheran Service Book. Zion Lutheran Church is sponsoring the Flowers on the Altar and the radio broadcast today to the glory of God.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I
a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you.
and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We continue now with Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Syria like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. To God on high. Father in heaven, At the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the festival of the baptism of our Lord, is taken from the book of Genesis, the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review, in regard to Christian questions and their answers, are you sorry for your sins?
Yes, I am sorry that I have sinned against God.
What have you deserved from God because of your sins?
His wrath and displeasure, temporal death, and eternal damnation.
The epistle reading from Romans, the 6th chapter, beginning at the first verse. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel is recorded in St. Mark, the first chapter. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the Gospel of our Lord, we confess our Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven
and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The sermon hymn is number 405, To Jordan's River Came Our Lord, hymn number 405 found in the Lutheran service book.
Sermon text this morning from today's epistle reading. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you know, taking that text there, this sixth verse of that hymn, the very last verse, that is one of my favorite two lines in all of our hymnody. Now rise, faint hearts, be resolute. This man is Christ, our substitute. That just pounds in all this theology. This is today it's baptismal theology. Now you know, I know, we all know that Christ did not institute holy baptism when he was baptized. You remember he instituted holy baptism before he went to ascend it into heaven, when he said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But that's when he instituted the sacrament of holy baptism. But here at the Jordan River, what do we see? We see Jesus' active obedience. Right? So remember all the way back to catechism class, Christ's active obedience is his actively fulfilling the whole will and the law of God in our place. Our substitute, right? And he is our substitute, so he's fulfilling the whole will and law of God in your place. That's what's going on. And even though John's baptism of repentance, what does Jesus do? He identifies himself with sinful humanity. Right? He is taking up upon himself the sin of the world. He is identifying with our sinful condition. Right? And that's what's going on here in the Jordan River. Okay? Jesus is taking upon himself the sin of the entire world. As St. Paul writes, right, the one who had not known sin, right, Jesus Christ, he has no human father, therefore he has no original sin. Right? That wasn't passed to him. His father is God, not man. So that original sin is not passed to Jesus. The one who had no sin, God made to be sin on our account in order that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. Wow. Now he took up our sin so that we might be, and how about we get a little more personal? He took up your sin so that you might be the righteousness of God in Christ. Right, this is the great exchange. Right? Christ takes your sin, he gives you his righteousness. Right? So this is all the wonderful work of God in Christ Jesus that's going on. So in his baptism, Christ took up our sins. And when he did that, right, he made himself subject to death. Because what is the penalty for sin? Right? The wages of sin is death. Right? And so Jesus, here in the Jordan River, made himself subject to death. So Jesus of Nazareth, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, what did he do? He died for us on the cross. And I keep saying us. This should be very personal. He died for you on the cross. Jesus' death paid for all of your sins. Jesus' death paid for all sin, period. By being crucified, Jesus bore the penalty for sin. And that penalty is death. And doing that, right, what did Jesus do? And he settled the score with sin. Jesus settled the score with the guilt of all sin. That's what happened on the cross. Okay? So, the guilt of sin is paid for, right? And he has all righteousness in our place. God raised Jesus from the dead, right? Because the ransom and the payment required were complete. So what do we see in the resurrection? Here's the stamp of approval, the seal of God saying, yes, everything my son did in your place is good. And I'm going to show that it is good by Jesus rising from the grave. Because of what Jesus did, the death power of sin over us is now broken. Death's power, which Jesus voluntarily subjected himself to, is forever ended. Alright, so Jesus took up all our sin. Death had a claim on Jesus until Jesus died. Jesus' assumption of our sin and the claim of death that on Jesus then put Jesus in connection with you and I. Okay, so he's stepping into your place. So that's what we see at the Jordan River. Jesus is stepping into your place. Now the question is, right, how does what Jesus did get applied to you? Right? So we're jumping now into baptismal theology. How did what Jesus did get applied to you? The answer to that question is baptism. In your baptism, everything Jesus did was applied to you personally. Paul is very explicit with our togetherness with Christ. Right? So that's what this whole thing, this whole reading, you know, it breathes. Now, like at first, when he starts off, I'd like to know what the question was, because he says, who's asking the silly question that should we just keep sinning so that grace may abound? That was the original question. You know, you wonder what was going on that people asked. Look, if I keep stealing cars, it's to magnify grace, God's grace in Jesus Christ, because he keeps forgiving me from stealing cars. And Paul's like, no, it doesn't work like that. Okay, you can't keep going on dwelling in sin, living in sin, you know, and be a Christian. So he goes on to tell us everything he's telling us here. He's very explicit about our togetherness with Christ. Like verse 3, baptized into Christ's death. So you are baptized, you know, together in Christ's death. Verse 4, buried with Christ. In other words, you are entombed together with Christ. You were merged into his death. Jesus is resurrected and we are connected to him in that resurrection, and because of that we purposefully conduct our life in a new way. Right? We died to sin. We work at conducting our life in a new way. Right? Verse 5, we have been grafted into Christ. This is what Paul's saying. We have been grafted into Christ. Again, verse 5, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Verse 6, our old self was crucified with him. More together language. Crucified with him. With the effect that the body of sin is rendered inoperative. Jumping to verse 8, if we have died together with Christ, then we shall also live together with Christ. So Paul is just breathing out all of this togetherness, this unity with Christ language. This is what's going on in your baptism. This is what's just breathing in and out in the waters of holy baptism, right? So what does faith do? Faith grasps, okay, it's given as a gift to you by God, but it grasps the promises of God in Jesus Christ. And it grasps hold of the work of Christ. And that's important, right? Because it's not enough for somebody to say, like, oh, I believe in God, or I believe in Jesus, right? And you've heard this before. Like, it's not enough just to say that. Really, we've got to answer the question, what do you believe about God? What do you believe about Jesus? That's the important question right there. What does one believe about the Christ? Because too often I've heard people, families, you know, like in grief, trying to console themselves. Well, they believed in God. You know, it's just kind of generic, vague, well, they believed in God, or they believed in Jesus kind of comments. And it's a tepid consolation at best, right? We are to have faith in what Jesus did on our behalf. This is what we're faith in what Jesus did for us. Not just faith in Christ, but what he did for us on our behalf. And what is that? He lived and he died in your place. He rose again in your place, and you are now grafted into the work of Christ through your baptism. So we, as those with faith, right, we must be conscious of this and realize that the what has died in us, okay, and what has risen in us. So our old man, our old Adam, was crucified in Christ. He was crucified with Christ. And you've got to grasp the language that Paul is using here. You know, we were entombed, right? Our old Adam, right? Entombed. We were entombed with Christ. We died. And the language that Paul is using is not this kind of, you know, this mere, the old Adam in us didn't just swoon and with resignation, oh, they're a Christian now. And your old Adam just kind of quietly walks away, shrugging his shoulders and leaving you alone. Of course not. The old man was crucified. We died, and it wasn't a quiet death at the time of our baptism. What word does Paul use? Crucified. I mean, picture a crucifixion in your head. Everything that you've ever learned about crucifixion, right, is a visceral description, and it denotes a violent and a cursed death. Your old Adam died a violent and cursed death. Your old Adam was Your old Adam was murdered in your baptism. That's what the heck was going on. Your old man, your old Adam was murdered in your baptism. That seditious rebel did not die voluntarily, but was slain by God as one cursed. Now that's a picture. Right? Now that's a picture. That's a violent, graphic picture of the reality of what is going on in the waters of holy baptism. And it's evident that God's not playing games with sin and death and hell and resurrection and all of that, which also means we shouldn't be playing games with sin, death, hell, and resurrection. You know, we don't play games with our own salvation. So the death that we died to sin is clearly and entirely dependent on Christ's sacrificial death by crucifixion. So that when Paul is speaking, he's able to say that baptism nails our old Adam to the cross. That's what's going on. Baptism nails our old Adam to the cross in order to be killed and with the sins for which Christ died on the cross. Right? So your old Adam is killed. If we were then connected to Jesus in a death like his, that's right, connected to Jesus in a death like his, then it follows we were entombed with him. We were laid in the grave with Christ. Okay? So let's recap this. Let's go back. Right? By connecting us with Christ's death, baptism so joined you to Jesus Christ that you yourself died to sin. Then you were grafted into Christ, and together with Christ you were entombed, you were buried together with Christ as dead. Now, we remember that this is Paul's language, and as such, since it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, it is God's language. It is the language of God that he wants you to grasp, and he wants you to understand, right? So we got to understand this. He's letting you know. God's letting you know. What does the water of holy baptism do to you? Whether you sprinkle, whether you pour, whether you immerse, whatever the mode of baptism is, it is not a mere symbol of your desire to follow Jesus. Perish that thought and banish that thought from your head and your mind and anything like that, right? It is God's mighty act that he does for you. And what does he do? Your old Adam is put to death. Your old Adam is entombed with Christ. And now what? You have been grafted into Christ, Paul says. If you have been grafted into Christ, if you have died in a death like his, if you have been entombed with Jesus Christ, you shall certainly, not maybe, not hopefully, not possibly, you shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Right, that is our confidence. That is our hope. That is our goal. We are pointed towards the resurrection of the dead. We are looking forward to the resurrection of the dead. You know, we're looking forward. That's what we're celebrating at Easter. And every Sunday is a mini Easter. We are looking forward to that resurrection of the dead. We just don't put our bodies in the grave and our souls go to heaven. We are looking forward to that day when Christ returns in glory and our bodies rise from the grave. They're put together with our souls. We have glorified bodies and we live forever in the new heavens and the new earth in glory and in joy for all of eternity. That's what we are looking forward to, right? Right? And we don't want to lose that. If we turn our back on Christ, then that's the thing that is lost. If we refuse to repent of our sins, you lose this. If you shut out the word, you lose this. If you refuse confession and absolution, if you keep turning your back on that, then you lose that resurrection. Right? If we keep turning your back on communion and absenting ourselves from the sacrament of the altar. Yeah, we will be resurrected. That person will be resurrected, but not to eternal life. They'll be resurrected rather to eternal death. Right? But for the trusters in Christ, we don't even know if that's a word. The ones who trust. The trusters in Christ's work, it is resurrection like Christ's. And what does that mean? To eternal life and to eternal glory. Right, connected to Jesus Christ, not turning back on Jesus Christ, that person, that one, is going to rise from the grave like Jesus rose from the grave for eternal life and eternal glory. So what is Paul telling the Christians? Right, he's talking to Christians. What he's saying? He says, here are the facts about baptism. How by baptism it is connected with Christ's crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection. It affected your own death to sin. It affected your own entombment with Christ, right? Because you were dead to sin. As Christian, it's showing a Christian's resurrection to the new life and pointing to the walking in newness of life. Right? It is for that reason. Right? He puts all this together, and it's for that reason the Apostle Paul finds it so monstrous that a Christian would have a thought of dwelling in sin, of living in sin. That's why Paul starts the segment of the scripture here as he does. He says, listen to what I'm saying. Are we to deliberately keep up the habit of sinning so that grace may abound? He says, by no means. Perish the thought. Don't let anybody think like that. How can we who with respect to sin have died to it, that after dying at any time go back and live in it? Right? So then here's these words. He's not saying we're not going to ever sin. It's not saying we're perfected in this life. He's saying don't go back and wallow in it. Don't go back and dwell in it. That does not glory Christ at all. Dwelling in sin, glorying in it, living in it, wallowing in it. Occasions to sin will rise, and no doubt we will sin. It's then that we fall at the foot of the cross. It is then that we implore our Lord, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And this may occur times without number. 70 times, 7 times it may occur. And yet this is a far cry from choosing to separate ourselves from Christ and live the life of a pagan or one who is unregenerate. So then as a continual way of life, says St. Paul, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Right? That's how you see yourself in the mirror every morning. Dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so connected with Jesus' death, His burial, His resurrection, in baptism, you have to look forward to your own resurrection. You have to look forward to your own joy, your own glory, your own bliss at the second coming of Jesus Christ, who will raise your body to new life, who will raise you to glorify it and live forever in the new heavens and the new earth. Like, that is our hope. That's what we're looking forward to. And what better thing? I mean, that's what's coming out at our funerals, right? When we have a funeral. Right? What is our hope? Is somebody who's a good person? That's not our hope. Our hope is that they are washed in the blood of Christ. They have baptized into the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That they are grafted together into Christ. And that in Christ, that person will rise from the dead on the last day and live forever in the glory of heaven. Or live forever in the glory of the new heavens and the new earth. Right? That's something to really look forward to. I think it's a great place to just take it and say, we're done there this morning. And amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now continue with our service. Rise for the singing of the offertory. Be seated as we have a musical interlude this morning.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or on Facebook Live, or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on weekends at 10 and 5 and on weekdays at 8 and 5. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information about our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for prayer. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Creator of the universe, giver of life, you who through the waters of holy baptism united us with the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, protect and preserve us in the true faith. We confess, O God, our trials in living out our lives as the redeemed. We humbly ask for your forgiveness, and we implore you for the faith to trust your absolution and the grace to live out our baptismal faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Dear Jesus Christ, great physician of both body and soul, hear our prayers for those of our fellowship who are sick or hospitalized. First, we pray for those known to you, those who are battling illnesses and hospitalizations and yet not known to us. We ask you to hear our prayers for those hospitalized, including Bob Holscutter. And we also pray for Katrina Hellman's mother, Rosemary, as Rosemary is in the ICU in Springfield battling COVID complications. We ask you to bear up Katrina and her family, giving them your strength and granting unto all the sick and their loved ones your presence and your strength. We thank you for also successful surgery for Teresa Reichart, and we pray for her continued recovery. And for one of Chris and I's friends, Becky Goach, who has also been hospitalized with COVID symptoms, we pray for her strength and recovery. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, You created us male and female. You have given to us the gift of marriage in which a man and a woman may find delight in one another, support one another, and care for one another. Thank you, Father, for the 64 years of marriage you have given to Darris and Emma Knauer, and for the blessings of love, support, devotion, family and friends, and faith that you have given to them during those years. Continue, we pray, O Lord, to support Darris and Emma, giving to them more years to delight in you and in their love and devotion to one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Almighty God, in your providence you have called the soul of Kathy Beaver unto yourself. We thank you that before her death she confessed her sins, received both the holy absolution and the sacrament of the altar. Comfort now, we ask you, John and his sons, with the confidence of your comfort and your presence and the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. All of these things, these petitions, we bring before your throne of grace and mercy, praying the prayer your Son taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, grant to your church your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you and in the confession of your name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 839, O Christ, Our True and Only Light, hymn number 839 found in the Lutheran Service Book. Thank you.
Please be seated. Just a couple things I wanted to touch on in the Zion's Light this morning before we finish. First of all, the installation, the elders met last Tuesday and we talked it over, installation of officers instead of doing it at four different services, because that's about what it would take. We're going to just ask that the officers come to the voters meeting that will be on the last Tuesday of this month at 7 p.m. We'll have installation of officers at the voters meeting this year. Just a little twist due to common circumstances. But because of those circumstances, did you want to say anything, Lyndon, since you're here? I know there's a bulletin announcement that says, you know, for any changes to the massacre crimes and attendance protocols, pay attention to the Zion's Light. You know, we're going to poll ourselves, the elders, later this month, right around the 17th. Is that correct, Lyndon? Did you have anything you wanted? I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but it's fun.
Good morning, everyone. Continually reviewing Tier 3 mitigation, we're hoping that either the 17th or the 24th, we're going to reconsider having to wear the mask for the entire service. We will encourage those who still want to wear the entire service to continue, but we're hoping we'll be able to take that burden so we can feel. We know that some of our members are not showing up having to wear their masks. So we're continually reviewing and spraying pretty forward as we get these things.
All right, thank you, Lyndon. Also, Linda. I can't remember. Did you say you were going to put the mic box out for those ladies who wanted to drop it off? Because I know there's a note in here to send it to you. The Saki. That's a different thing. My box is out there for anyone who'd like to just contribute their spare change to the Ladies Aid Society. And saw one of the throwback pictures printed on Facebook this year. Sharon, I thought you were Amy. Sorry. I have no idea. You have to ask Sam, but Mrs. Lockenauer said, "Hey, look at this." I said, "Oh, that's Amy in there." "No," she said, that's high school Sharon." So that's on the church's Facebook page. So check those out. And if you have any throwback pictures, old pictures of people from here at Zion, get them to Sam, I believe. It's Sam Opperman. Okay, I think that's it. Just be aware. Please encourage everybody to continue to send your offerings in. If you looked at the budget, is starting to get tighter at this point. And I know not being able to all everybody come to church, sometimes we forget to drop those in the mail. Just encouraging everyone to continue to send their offerings into the church or bring them in with you and put them in the offering plate here at the back of church. The elders are going to usher everybody out from the back of the nave towards to the front. So please be patient and wait for that. And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.